It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So glad you're here. Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, my name is Mackenzie Shire. I'm involved in the yoga world, obviously. I've been teaching yoga for probably, 7 years now? A little on and off. Yeah, I am in my early 30s, so there's a little biography for me, I guess.
Yeah. What kind of stuff are you into? Like, what kind of yoga stuff?
What kind of yoga stuff? All of it. So I really enjoy, for like an asana practice, asana was like my first love in the yoga world. I really enjoy Ashtanga yoga a lot. There's not a whole lot of that here, so I have to kind of find a lot of that myself. And then just all the little, I think the yoga just encompasses so much, like, in the wellness world too. We're so involved in wellness, and there's so much that comes along with that. So like astrology, I have dabbled in astrology.
What's your sign?
I am a Sagittarius sun, Scorpio moon, and Capricorn rising.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're so cool. There's like fire in there, right?
Yeah. A lot of fire. So my sun is a fire sign, Sagittarius. My moon sign is a water sign, Scorpio, so I'm just a lot of, like, steam.
You have a sun? Did I not? I knew this.
My sun sign?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Sorry. I have no babies.
I was like, you mean your dog?
Yeah, okay. I do. Okay, my dog is my son. I am a dog mama. They are very involved in my yoga practice, my home practice.
I don't know why I instantly thought you were saying your child's astrology sign, but then you meant your sun's your son.
That's okay. Yeah, my sun sign is a fire sign. My moon sign is a water sign. So, like, I experience a lot of steam. I have a lot of fire and water in my chart. So,
what does that mean?
I mean, steam is, like, I think steam can be really cool. It can propel things. So, like, you think, like, steamboats, just steam rooms can be really energetic, and a lot of movement happens. Mm. I think it can also be kind of, you know, I think that's the positive aspect of it. Steam, like, if you think about putting yourself in a steam room, it's kind of, it pulls from you. So it's a very movement-based dynamic in the elemental.
Where does it show up for you in real life when you're reading about your astrology? Where are you like, yep, that's me. I'm a steamer.
My temper, man.
Oh, there's that fire.
I do. I have a temper, and I'm very fast with it. And I make decisions very, very quickly, but there's also a lot of emotion behind them.
That's the water. The water is the emotion.
Yeah. I'm a very, like, my emotions are very volatile. I go from, like, high highs, and then, like, I love wallowing in my lows. Like, I love experiencing all of it.
Full experience of the emotions. And where does yoga help you out there?
Yoga definitely has taught me to be able to sit with it. Even if I'm, like, okay, I'm in this, like, high place, it's kind of that aparigraha, you know, that non-attachment aspect of these emotions. Because some of them can be just so amazing, and, like, you just feel them so fully. And then, like, you know, you don't want to be attached to it. People get really attached to, like, the high points in life, the happiness, all of this. And so I think when you have something, like, an adverse situation in your life, something that's going to bring you down, yoga has taught me that it's okay to be there. It's okay to sit there. So when I'm having a crap day, I make it a crap day. Like, I just let myself have it. I'm like, you know what? I am in a bad mood. I am going to... Like, what can I, let's watch a sad movie. Let's play Christmas music in July. What is going to irritate me a little bit more? And I can just, like, experience this, like,
really?
Agitation.
You go for it.
Yeah.
Christmas music in July.
Oh, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. But yeah, just really being able to sit with these emotions and know that this isn't forever. I mean, like, you know, we always joke. I think a chair pose in yoga is a massive one with that, where we're like, you're not going to be here forever, but you don't know how long you're going to be here. Can you just sit here? Mm-hmm. Can you breathe with it? Can you experience that burn in your thighs? Can you just, like, hold on to that and experience it for the length that you're going to experience it, and know that it's going to end, and know that, you know, a, like, really great pigeon pose is coming, or shavasana, you know that's coming. And I think that really translates into my life a lot, and just the way I experience the world.
You like to sit with it.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't always been that way. That was something that, like, yoga's definitely taught me, but it's been a learning process for me to get there. But yeah, that's kind of where I am with it.
What was your first yoga class like?
Oh my gosh. So My yoga journey has been interesting. I actually started with a home practice. Okay. My home practice is my, like, my practice. I started with yoga DVDs when I was in high school. And then I, when I got to college, I was like, oh my gosh, you can, yoga comes in classes. Like, you could actually go somewhere and take a class. And so I started taking classes at BSU, and it was like an athletic class.
Mm-hmm.
But my first actual in-studio yoga class, it was horrible. And I mean, it was a funny experience, but I didn't realize hot yoga was a thing. And I didn't realize, I'd never been into like an actual studio before. And so I show up, I was wearing these.
Wait, you showed up to a hot studio and you didn't know it was hot? You just saw like yoga studio.
Yeah. I didn't know it was hot. And I looked online. I was like, oh, bring it to, I, like, I was not prepared for this.
That happened to me too.
It was very jarring, and I showed up, and it was a Sumit's studio at the time, which, mm-hmm. you know, in Boise's transitioned to Essentials and now Yoga 6, like all fantastic places. But I was wearing these wide-legged polyester, like, yes. yoga pants and yes. my husband's cotton T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, I've got the ratty sports bra, and I show up, and I've got a beach towel because they said bring a towel. And I was like, well, that's odd. So
at least you didn't bring a washcloth like Jodell.
Oh, gosh. And I walk in this room, and this is, like, back in the day where everyone's got their matching, like, booty shorts and sports bras, and I'm there.
They're,
like,
not even sports bras. They're, like, triangle stripper tops.
Yeah,
like they're going for it.
I know, that's what everyone was wearing, and I'm basically like dressed like a potato. Like, I was like, oh my god. Like, it was hot, it was fast, I thought I was gonna die. Like, none of the poses really threw me off, but just the heat.
This is back when it was 80 minutes too.
Yeah, like there wasn't a power hour, it was like the full like shebang. And I, you know, I was very like type A, I'm going for it, I'm doing this. And I get like halfway through, and I end up like, they tell you don't leave the room, this journey in yoga, you're not supposed to leave the room. And I had to leave the room. Like, I got up and I was so embarrassed. I go in the bathroom, or in the like locker room, I'm crying at this point because it was such like this emotional wow. like release thing that was happening in my body. I'm calling my husband, I was like, I can't do it, I gotta come home. And like at this time, like, I put this class on my credit card. Like, we were so incredibly broke. And I was like, I'm not even going back in for my mat. And he's like, babe, you cannot leave your mat. We cannot afford to get you another mat. You
have to go. That's how embarrassed you were.
Yeah. And so I'm like crying. I was like, okay, like just trying to work up the courage to like go back into this room. And the teacher like obviously noticed I was in distress because they had this like little mini shavasana in the middle of the class.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, the way those were structured. Uh-huh. And she actually comes into the locker room to find me. And she was like, just come back in, lay down, that's it. Just lay down. And then I laid down the last half of class. I left, and I went back like twice, and kind of similar, I laid down mostly. And then I didn't touch hot yoga again until someone asked me if I could teach at their hot studio, and I was like, sure.
How did you go from dressed as a potato laying down for most of class to someone asking you to teach a class? I feel like we're missing something.
Basically after that, I realized, okay, hot studios are a thing, and it's not mm-hmm. my thing. And so I found studios that weren't heated and was doing that and still like really being grounded in my home practice. That's always been a big thing for me. Studios are supplementary to my mm-hmm. practice. I was going through, I was like, okay, I want to teach. And so I decided to, you know, embark on my 200-hour teacher training, transform my life, transform my career, whatever. And
did it?
It did. I had gone from working two full-time jobs and like, just like I was in like jewelry and SEO and like very different worlds. And once my husband had gotten like his first like big boy pilot job, and I was like, okay, I'm quitting, I'm coming a yoga teacher. And I was just like this go, go, go. And so I was trying to basically build a schedule for myself. Like, actually, I had no idea how to make a career out of mm-hmm. teaching yoga. And so
I still don't, honestly.
Oh God, girl, like, I feel you there. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like,
once a week I cry, I'm like, what am I doing in my life?
No, I'm to the point where teaching yoga just funds more yoga for me.
Basically.
And I was just trying to build this schedule. I was teaching in gyms at some studios all over the place. And this girl I was teaching with at the gym, she was like, oh, hey, my mom's looking for teachers. I've taken your class. Do you want to teach? Like, she come meet us. And so I go there, and lo and behold, it's another freaking hot studio. And they were like, well, can you teach in the heat? And I said, yes. I don't know. Like,
I love it.
I didn't even like, I was like, yeah, sure. And so I remember my first class, I was like literally shaking because I hadn't practiced in the heat. And so I'm going in to teach like a fast paced vinyasa class in the heat. Have no idea like what humidity does to a class. I have no idea when I should open doors. God. And I taught hot yoga for 5 years after that.
So if you could tell yourself, if you could speak to Mackenzie right before she taught her first hot class, like what would be like the one tip you'd give yourself that you now know based on how that class went?
Slow down. Because I was like, okay, it's a hot, this is type A super active class. Like I just tried to cram as many poses into that class as I possibly could. And I came in as not a hot yoga teacher. I didn't know like the sequences, like, you know, power hours, they're very similar. You're teaching the same sequences. I had mostly been teaching like vinyasa and ashtanga style type classes. And
did they give you an outline and be like, work off this? Or did they say, just do your own thing, like vinyasa?
I mean, they said, yeah, you're fine. Do your own thing, do your own vinyasa. You're fine. Like, just make sure it's like challenging enough. And then they gave me an outline and I just never bothered to learn it. I can do this. Like, it just is so cocky.
Like, I was not like that at all. I was the opposite. I would just like stare at the outline while I taught class. I was so freaked out.
I was more worried about my playlist than anything
else. God, you're so like, cool.
It was not cool. I'm sure these people were like, what is this girl?
Did you turn the fans on? Did they get an air break?
Nope. They didn't get like, they like.
Did they die?
I think so. Yeah, there were actually some complaints about it. They had to come talk to me. Like, that was like too hard. Like, I didn't give them like a child's pose in between like vinyasa. I had no idea.
Some people love that though.
I know. Like, some people like, I mean, in general, I found that as a teacher, people either love me or they hate me. And there is no.
That's how you know you're a good teacher.
I know. I'm like, oh, at least I hope that's what it is.
Oh, it is. It is.
So I don't know.
If everyone loves you, you're basic.
You're just so basic. And as we're sitting here, like in our Uggs and yoga pants.
How basic are we right now? Leggings and furry jeans, fuzzy jeans, or boots. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm okay being basic. I'll embrace that.
So you had never taught a hot class. You didn't even like hot classes. Suddenly you're teaching a hot class and you're like, I guess I'll start practicing in the heat. And you now like it?
Yeah, basically. where I was in life, I was so like fast paced. Like so much of my self-worth was tied to productivity. Mm. And the heat really made me feel productive. Like seeing how sweaty my towel would be afterwards, it made me feel like I did something. I don't think that's necessarily like true. It just means I was like, either had too much like vodka the night before or was hydrated. Like, who knows? Who knows what that actually means anymore? But that's what I like equated it with. And so I got really into the heat for a while. I've had to step back from it a bit. And I'm like, last week, I just now dabbled back in the heat. I ventured back in after 2.5 years. I ventured back into the heat. So I had a little 2.5 year hiatus. And now I'm kind of moving back there, I guess.
How was that class coming back?
It was really intimidating.
It was a hot class and it was a full class.
It was really full. So the humidity like just got like crazy, but you were like, go by the door. I was like, okay, good, good. And so it was really intimidating for me because I had stopped teaching at this hot studio about 2.5 years ago. And then a year ago, I actually had my second heart surgery in the last 5 years. And so I was like, and I know everyone's going to be like, oh my gosh, he is such a like contraindication for like cardiac stuff. Not for everyone. That's not the case. It's okay. It's safe. It's fine. As long as you're being safe and monitoring. But I wasn't sure how I was going to respond to it. And so that's why. And it was also my first class since COVID, like first public class since COVID. Mm-hmm. And because I've been in that high risk category, I've been so isolated. And so I was like, I'm going to take Christina's class. Like I need to take some class from someone I trust and I know and that's not going to like either judge me or shame me or whatever.
Oh my gosh, never.
I've been shamed in a yoga class before, so which is, you know, a totally another story. But so I went in and I was feeling pretty good. And, you know, I took more breaks than like my ego wanted me to.
Uh-huh.
My ego's like, Mackenzie, like, you've got this. You can do this. But I took a lot more breaks than I thought I was going to. But I left feeling like, oh my gosh. The class was great. It was so great to like not, I love my home practice, but it was so nice to have someone tell me just to pick my right leg up and bring it forward, like mm-hmm. not have to have that mental connection all the time. It was easier to fall into that meditative state, that moving mm-hmm. meditation. And then just really the sense of community actually felt really good, like practicing around other people, having that energy. When you rely so much on like online or your home practice, I feel like that's an element that I've lost. And I've really had kind of taken a sabbatical. Like it was actually, yeah. it was phrased to my students, a lot of my students, I was taking a sabbatical from teaching. And so I'm slowly getting back into that now and just really missing this community aspect. And so that was like my big thing that I was searching for, and I found that.
Oh, good. I was worried you were going to say that you were very anxious around all the people after being away from people for so long, but it sounds like you needed it.
Yeah, I'm an extrovert. Like I like being, I'm like, everyone thinks that like, everyone claims to be an introvert. And I'm like, how is that so? Like, there's got to be other extroverts out there. I loved being around the people. I liked the small little crowded locker room and all that energy. And, you know, yes. I was like hand sanitizing, you know, I had my hand sanitizer, like, don't get COVID.
Oh, God, but, I know.
But I, you know, I went into it knowing that that's what it was. And again, it's just kind of like this, like a parigraha, non-attachment. It's not going to be the, you know, it is what it is. And if like, yeah, like I'm going to enjoy the energy and I'm not going to stress over it. I'm going to wash my hands before and after. And like, mm-hmm. I mean, I walked in wearing my mask.
Of course.
And then I felt the heat of the studio and I was like, there's no way I'm wearing a mask for this. But
it's a little tricky yeah. with the breath work. Just tell us, so you had a heart surgery this last year. Yes. Are you okay? Is everything going good?
Oh yeah, no, everything is fine. It was just, I have like my cardiac history is kind of, it's been really hard to hide. It, like, as much as, like, it feels so private, it's really out there. But I actually had my first, I had an open heart surgery 5 years ago, and I was taking a hot yoga class when I found out, like, that I passed out during a Bikram class.
Okay.
And that's what propelled me to go into the studio. They found, it was just, like, some congenital stuff I had been born with. I, like, had, no surprise here, pushed through my entire life and never like.
So you had little symptoms, but you didn't really think about it. You're just like, I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
Like, would you notice it when you're working out? Would you notice it when you're at rest?
So you can get really high. Well, I tend to get really high heart rates. Like just sitting here, like my heart rate would jump up to like 200 beats a minute and it'd stay there for like an hour. And like that was what my last surgery was to fix. But when I was like 18, 19, I went into the ER like twice to, cause I thought I was having a heart attack cause that was happening. And they took one look at me and my heart rate was already coming down and they told me I had anxiety and they sent me home with like Valium and like Xanax type stuff. Like,
huh.
So I was like, oh, when this happens, I must be feeling anxious and like, it'll make you feel anxious.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So you started would you take like Xanax or whatever they gave you when your heart was up? Did it help?
No, it didn't help.
Like, because you had a congenital heart issue.
Yeah. Just so like I had no idea how to advocate for myself in like a medical setting. Like, and so I just believed what they told me. And and then like my parents would like make like running and stuff as a kid. Like I would struggle, but like I would just get called a weenie. Like my parents were like, come on, Mackenzie, don't be a weenie.
Well, yeah. Who would think?
Yeah.
How do you discover what's going on?
You know, so through hot yoga.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like, you've taken, you started in Bikram.
Oh, right? Yeah. For years.
Oh, yeah. It's Bikram. You're like, we all love it, you know. is that they call it just the pranayama, that breath work where you've got your fists underneath your chin and you're like inhaling your elbows up, tilting your head back. It's a very like aggressive.
I just did an episode where I was talking about that breath work, but I couldn't remember how it was. So in the episode, I'm rambling and I don't know what I'm talking about. Will you please tell everyone what is that thing? Will you say that again?
Okay. So like basically you take like one fist, you cup your other hand over it, you put it under your chin. And as you inhale, you lift your elbows up. And it's a really big inhale. And the elbows are lifting up and out to the side. And then as you exhale, you press into your jaw, that bandha there. And you start to lift your head up as you exhale. So you're exhaling as the head is lifting. And then bring it back down on your inhale. So as you inhale, the elbows are moving back up. Exhale, like...
Exhale, the elbows come back down.
Yeah, it's a really, really intense pranayama. And I started to feel lightheaded and I like started to like pass out, but I was in a Bikram class.
It was the very beginning of class.
Yeah. And so like, and they, Bikram classes, they'll kind of target you a little bit. Like at least this teacher
did. It's very sadist masochist style, yes, where the teacher's the sadist and you're all just taking the beating.
And you know, and we think we love it for some reason.
We
and
do.
I know.
Yell at me.
And I go down, like I like kind of like stumble, and I end up just kind of like laying there on my mat, and I found my way to child's pose somehow, and she was like, "There's no child's pose in this class," and I was like, "Oh my god!" And so I went to the doctor, just thinking like I need to get my blood work checked because I was. You know, I was running a lot. I was hiking a lot. Lots of yoga. I was teaching like probably 15 classes a week, 5 of them in the heat. Like,
you think you're healthy, but something's up.
And I go to this doctor and she was like, "You need to have your heart checked out." And I was like, mentally like flipping her off. Like, absolutely. No, I do not. Like, and she's like my age. And I was like, no, no way. So she finally convinces me to go. And everything just snowballed from there. They found like a hole in my heart.
How did they know these things? Like an ultrasound or what?
So yeah. So she just gave it a listen. I was like, "Your heart doesn't sound right, girl. Like, go get this."
That's all it took, and the hospital ER couldn't hear it.
Yeah, but I was born with it, so it happened my entire life. And so then I get scheduled for an echo, which is like an ultrasound. It's just an echocardiogram, and the same thing as like they do with pregnant women's on your chest. And then they send it to a cardiologist and they're like, "Oh, wow, you have this hole here. Your mitral valve is leaking. You have this like just this constellation of like events of little things going on." And so next thing I know, I'm getting scheduled for an open heart surgery. So what I decide to do is I push it back so I can go backpacking in Alaska for a month. And I signed up for my 300-hour. I'm a 500-hour teacher.
Because you're going to need to zen the fuck out.
Yeah. And so, I signed up for my 300-hour. I worked through that. I, like, showed up, like, 3 weeks after my open heart surgery to start my 300-hour. Like,
was training okay after heart surgery? Did you have to take it easy?
I didn't actually participate in a lot of the asana.
Mm-hmm.
But what was actually, I think this was so much better for me than what happened my 200 hour. Because in my 200 hour, I was practicing. My 300 hour, because I'd had that heart surgery, and like I was practicing chair yoga for myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was observing. And I was observing what the class would do. And yeah. I was observing how like people responded to what the teacher said. Yes. I was observing alignment. And so I think I actually learned so much more through that experience than I would have like just doing straight up like participating in the asana class.
Were you super stressed when you got the news that you needed to have heart surgery?
I repressed. I pushed that down.
Did you take one of those Xanax? Yeah,
I was just kind of like in shock, and like I was almost embarrassed about it. Like, all of a sudden I feel like I have more in common with like a middle-aged old man than I do with like my own peer group. It's a really isolating experience, and it's at the time, I was not good at being vulnerable. I was not good at asking for help. And so through that experience, I had to like learn how to ask for help. Like, I couldn't wash my own hair for 6 weeks. Like, I had to ask for help. I didn't know how to process it. I don't know, no tools to be able to process it. And that's like, I kind of turned to yoga a little bit for that. Like, people are like, "Oh, did your yoga practice just make you feel so great?" Like, no, like it helped me sit with being miserable and not knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. It let me sit with like being in physical pain. It let me sit with the isolation that can cause. I know so many people like have been going through isolation with like COVID and stuff. And I feel that. But also I'm like, you know what? After having chronic illness and going through that, and like it's the same. It feels so similar. But, you know, and it was interesting. Like, my whole world like completely stopped. It completely stopped, and everyone else just kept going forward. And so I had to really sit with myself and like look at myself and be like, what do I want out of this? Like, how is this gonna like not, like, it's always gonna be a part of my life, but how is this like not gonna just like consume me? Like, how do I not like take on the mental aspect of being chronically sick? How do I
Or victimization.
Yeah, and that's so easy to fall into. And I'm actually really thankful.
It's too easy, actually.
Yeah, it is. I'm so thankful I didn't grow up knowing any of this, that I didn't have to experience being a sick child.
No, because your parents are calling you a weenie. Be like, come on, Mackenzie.
I know. Like, oh, God.
Were they supportive? Were they there for you? Are they around?
Oh, yeah, they are. My parents, they they're separate. They're not separate. They're full on divorced, remarried, divorced, like all the whole bit. Uh-huh. I had to have, there was no one here in Boise that could do my surgery. I had to go to Portland for okay. it. And so my whole family caravans down there. My mom, my stepmom, my dad, my grandma, my aunt, like my whole family caravaned to Portland for my surgery.
Oh, that makes yeah. me so happy.
So I had a lot of crew. I had a lot of support in that respect. And then, you know, no surprise, it's like really expensive to have like these surgeries. They're very, very expensive. And so when we came back, my husband, he was working like hitch schedule. So he would work 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off, 3 weeks on. So he'd be gone for 3 weeks at a time. And he, I mean, that's kind of still what that is what he does now. But he got back, he was with me for a week, and then he had to go back to Alaska for work because we could not afford to take the time off.
Oh man.
And so I literally had to like sit with myself. Like,
that sucks.
And so I was like living alone, like I was broken. Like my mom would come over every once in a while, help me wash my hair and do my dishes, you know. Yeah. But like it was an intense experience for sure.
Well, I'm looking at you right now and you look healthy, young, beautiful. Yes. Okay. You've got this gorgeous little tiny scar on your chest, and I'm noticing you're wearing a heart pendant.
Yeah.
Not like the Valentine's Day heart, but like an actual
anatomical
heart.
Yeah.
And so what does that necklace represent for you?
So for like My husband actually got it from me, Mike. His name's Mike. I can stop like status dropping and just say Mike. I can say Mike got this for me. He gave it to me once I like had been able to like graduate from like cardiac rehab. And wow. So yeah, and it's like a tiny little sterling silver. It's not this like, massive expensive piece. But I just like to wear it because everything I do in life, like it does affect your heart in some way, like whether it's from an emotional standpoint, that heart chakra, all that energy, whether it's from like a physical standpoint, every time I, you know, make any sort of like athletic choice, make any food choice, drink choice, like it affects me. And so it's just kind of this reminder, like, you know, to put myself first, I suppose, mm-hmm. to make sure like that my mental health, my emotional health and my physical health comes first.
That's so powerful. I'm so grateful that you're on my little podcast and sharing this information, which I think is so important, so powerful. I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh my gosh. So I was thinking about this, and this is a specific instance. It was a few years ago, and a lot of people, as you know, have been moving to the Treasure Valley from mm-hmm. various certain places. And there was a woman who had just moved. We're in the locker room, and she's talking with someone. They're asking her how her move's gone. And she doesn't respond with, oh, my gosh, like, this has been such a long haul, getting internet set up, all this. What she says is, oh, my gosh, everyone has been so nice here. And I was like, it just made me, like, so happy, thinking how nice our yoga community is, thinking how nice just, like, even our yoga community is great. And then we're mm-hmm. a part of this, like, better Treasure Valley, like, community.
That's what I hear from a lot of people, too. And they said, I'm like, well, why'd you choose Boise? And he's like, everyone here is so nice.
Yeah.
So many people say that. I love hearing that about my community, too. I remember mm-hmm. moving to Seattle, and Seattle's famous for the Seattle freeze because people are frigid towards you. Oh. Even in the grocery store, people will shoulder you as you walk past. And that
I can't imagine you there.
I was horrified. I know, I'm so chatty. I talk to everyone. And I remember going into the grocery store through the parking garage, and you go up these stairs, and it's just like a normal metal door, and you have to pull it open. It's not one of the grocery stores with the automatic doors. And so I'm right behind this guy, like literally right behind him. And he just slams the door shut behind him. And I'm like, I've been following you up the stairs this whole time, and you slam the door in my face. And then I go into the store, I get shouldered. I go to reach for a product. Someone else reaches for it. I'm like, oh, it's a popular product. Ha ha. And they look at me like I'm a serial killer for even talking to them. You wait in line at the check registers. Nobody talks to each other. They look at you like you're a psycho if you attempt to talk to them.
That would hurt my feelings so bad.
So at first I was horrified, and then I didn't even realize I was used to it. So when I moved back to Boise, I go to the grocery store, and a serial killer starts talking to me in line at the grocery store. And then I realize, oh my God, I'm home.
Yes. Talk to me about anything.
Do you teach yoga currently?
Yeah. So I'm easing back out of my sabbatical, and so I am teaching only one public class a week, a couple privates, just one class a week at Yoga for Wellness. Mm-hmm. It's a gentle yoga class. It's trauma sensitive. It's accessible. Mm. And yeah,
I want to learn more about trauma sensitive yoga.
It's it definitely has changed the way I teach even like non like trauma sensitive marketed classes.
I took one class that was trauma sensitive and it rocked my world. It made me think about so many different things. So people can find you at Yoga for Wellness.
Yes.
Where else can they find you, follow you, stalk you?
You can stalk my Instagram, my little tiny Instagram at Meeting Mackenzie Shire. And that's about as active in the community as I am right now. I ditched my Facebook. I'm teaching at Yoga for Wellness and then my little Instagram.
Awesome. Well, I'll put all that info in the show notes so people can find you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh my gosh,
on.
Thank you for coming or asking me. Thank
you for You're coming welcome. You're welcome. Cool. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!